This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just talked to our friend Louise. She dropped out here. She stopped. She said, I've had enough. I'm finished with AB. She's out here right now at Totten's. She got rid of her AB jersey. The Totens gave her $5 off of breakfast. The Yinzers in the Burr gave her a $10 gift certificate toward a new shirt, and she registered to win that Juju Smith-Schuster signed jersey.
She also just bought it for her son.
And she just threw it away. I'm done with it. I'm a Juju fan now, she says. Stop by at Totens. Get rid of your AB stuff. We're getting rid of AB and welcoming in Juju full bore. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Speaking of welcoming, we welcome in our Penguins insider from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Mr. Jason Mackey. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Wow, you're excited, Colin. You're ready to go.
We should be. We're having. Well, you know why? I want to get out more. I like being out amongst the people.
Yes.
This is what morning shows are and should be more of. Arm in arm with the people, out in the streets, man. And we're going to be at Jack's tomorrow in the South Side, a place you have been quite a bit, I know, as a kid who grew up in Brentwood. Made your way
right
there.
Over the hill.
Let's talk Pens last night. Does Matt Murray sense when there's a different buzz about a game, even in the regular season?
I think so. And I don't want to say he's bored with the regular season, because he's not, but I think there's a certain switch that slips on in a lot of guys, and specifically goaltenders, and boy, does it flip on with Matt Murray. I mean, we can sit here and talk all day about, can this kid stay healthy for any stretch of time? And I think it's a legitimate conversation at this point, but he performs differently in big games. The kid is not scared of any sort of weighty moments. In fact, I think he plays better. If there was a way to replicate that over an 82-game regular season, that's what they'd want to do. But I watch him last night, and I watch him, you know, some random game, this December is not a good example because he was really good in December, but, you know, earlier this season when he struggled, it's a completely different goaltender. He's playing a quiet game. He's reading the game better. He's not flopping all around the place. He's making boring saves, and he's making huge and timely saves like he did last night against McDavid on that penalty shot.
You know, we get caught up in maybe too much of the game-to-game or even period-to-period, moment-to-moment with Matt Murray, right? But when you look at it in totality, Jason, since he came back in mid-December, 13-4. That started out with a 9-0 run, but still, 13-4 as a whole. Is this a matter of finding momentum that he can carry into the postseason, or is this just Matt Murray, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, just playing the way he's going to play? Should we expect him to just continue playing like this? Are we setting the standards too high to expect a 13-4 run in every 17 games?
I mean, I don't think it's too much to expect that out of him. I do think that the Penguins allowing, 39 shots last night, 51 against Philly Monday. I mean, that's not necessarily sustainable. You probably don't want to tempt fate with that much of a workload. But to expect Murray to play the way he has the past couple of games, yeah, that's reasonable. He's that goaltender. He can be that good. We saw that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you can't let the guy face that many shots every night. You have to tighten down a little bit. And to the Penguins' credit, after kind of a lousy start last night, I thought they were a lot better defensively. And Philly's strategy was to kind of just aimlessly throw pucks on net. I don't think 51 shots was a heavy, heavy workload. But I look at Matt Murray, and I think it's completely reasonable to expect what he's done since December 15th when he came back from that injury. And I think, by and large, that's the goaltender the Penguins should be getting. Again, the key with him, as it always is staying healthy. And once the playoffs roll around, you know, is he healthy? Is he your guy? Is he available? I think he should be. But I think at this point, you know, if you're a Penguins fan and you're sort of only cautiously optimistic, I can see why you're that way.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Also, text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Are they in a way, hiding, but also being sure to play Hornquist by playing him on the third line. That is to say, having their cake and eat it too, not put him out there in the line of fire too much, but not deactivating him, so to speak.
I'm not sure if that's the case as much as they're trying to figure out the right combinations here, and I don't think they have them. And I don't mean that to say that, you know, they're struggling or ineffective or something like that. It's just Sidney Crosby's line's been really good with Brian Rust on it, and it was that way again last night, and they're trying to figure out what to do on that second line. It's been difficult with Malkin being out and hurt and suspended and all that stuff, and they're just trying to find the right place to put him, and I don't think they have it right now. And I don't think, that being said, I don't think the place to put him is on the third line. I think you're wasting him. You know, two nights ago or in Philly, he played, what, 9-10? I mean, that's not going to work. You don't want to play Hornquist that little. I do also think, too, I mean, whenever they get the power play going, Hornquist is going to get going and sort of befuddling why that power play isn't better. But those two are weirdly intertwined. And, you know, at some point, you need to find a way to get Hornquist going. And I don't know if that's taking Brian Rust off the top line, even though it's effective, just because Hornquist has produced with Crosby. Or maybe it's, you know, let's give Phil Kessel and Nick Bjugstad a look on the third line, and we try Patrick Hornquist with Evgeny Malkin this weekend. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I know one thing, that playing Hornquist 9-10 a night, I mean, that's not ideal. It's not how this team is best constructed. It's not getting anything out of Hornquist. I think, what, doesn't have a point in his past 10 or 11 or something like that. Like, he's just not getting the opportunities that he's used to getting in terms of tipping pucks and being around all the chaos in front of the net. And you got to get him with one of the big boys, and you got to get some offense generated for him.
Our Penguins insider Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. We're live from Totten's Diner in Wexford. Bring us your A-B stuff. Teddy Bluger, Teddy Big Goals, got twice as much ice time last night against Edmonton as he did his last game Saturday night in Tampa. I'm not sure what went into the benching, so to speak, against Philly Monday night, Jason, but is it fair to say that Mike Sullivan sees that this kid has a certain something about him, and that this very much feels like a player in the vein of, I don't know if I want to compare him to Jake Guentzel a couple of years ago, but very much in the vein of Brian Rust and Connor Sherry when they came up and made an impact as youngsters?
Yeah, I would think so, Chris. I mean, I'm kind of with you, and probably with a lot of Penguins fans on this, that I don't understand why Teddy Bluger was taken out of the lineup the other night. I certainly wouldn't take him out of the lineup this weekend. And I think Mike Sullivan certainly has a tough lineup decision, because that fourth line was really good last night, and you're probably going to have to take off Zach Aston-Reese or Garrett Wilson. I think the path of least resistance, but your other option could be taking off Tanner Pearson. It's just you're putting almost $4 million on your bench. I don't think you want to do that permanently. But not to stray from the point of Bluger, I think he's absolutely in the category of Sherry and Rust. He's given them some energy. He's coming up and playing like he doesn't know any better. And maybe he doesn't, but he's a really smart hockey player. You know, I know watching this kid in the AHL, like, you saw some of this, but I've been really impressed with just, you know, where he knows to go to score goals, how he's able to read off of his teammates. And a lot of times we see guys come up here and the game's too fast for them. It's not that way at all with Teddy Bluger. And to me, right now, he is playing in such a way and producing in such a way that you can't take him out. You can't take out a guy who's scoring timely goals like that, especially not this time of year when goals are at a premium. And so this weekend, I would expect Teddy Bluger to play. If he doesn't, I'm going to be stunned again the way I was in Philly whenever they took him out, because, I mean, he has without a doubt been one of their best 12 forwards.
Can we talk about how Chad Ruedel hadn't played since the Penguins were in the Patrick division? And then he gets out there last night, and he fits. He honestly didn't play. He was paired with a defenseman who wasn't on the team the last time he played. And then I don't think so. Then he gets out there and he plays. And I thought Ruedel hit the ground running, and he played a spectacular hockey game last night.
He did, man. It is really like logic defying how well this guy can. He's probably their best practice player, right? Like, this dude practices better than anybody else they have. I literally think it was November the last time he played in a hockey game. I thought he was perfectly fine last night. And I give Chad Ruedel a lot of credit for this, because I think a lot of players don't get this. Like, he knows who he is. He knows what he is. He does not try to do anything fancy, and thus does not do anything stupid. And he's perfectly serviceable back there. I think a lot of Penguins fans would probably rather see Chad Ruedel in the lineup on a regular basis than Jack Johnson. I don't think that's going to happen, but again, if they need to use Chad Ruedel in a pinch, if there's another injury, if you're looking at this team and saying, is it deep enough on the back end, I think Chad Ruedel is perfectly fine if you have to bring him in. But it is very impressive how this guy's able to stay out of the lineup for long stretches. And just, you know, we only rarely see him in the dressing room because he's on the ice so darn long. Usually we're out of the dressing room, Mike Sullivan has talked, and we're like writing stories by the time that Chad Ruedel gets off the ice. It's just, it's very impressive to see him do that and how he's able to keep up with the speed of the game.
I mean, there's sometimes his defensive pair is Mark Recchi in practice.
I know.
You know, you look
More often than it's Mark Recchi or Gonchar.
It is incredible, and I don't think enough can be said.
Yeah, and to keep it on the blue line, Jason, it last night to me struck me as like it was a microcosm of the Letang-Dumoulin pairing and why it works so well. Chris Letang jumping into plays at times irresponsibly, but Brian Dumoulin there time after time after time to back him up, sprawling all over the ice in the middle of the low slot, doing everything he had to give Chris Letang the flexibility to stretch out and become a part of the play.
Yeah, I thought Brian Dumoulin had one of his best games in a while, and not like, you know, he's been lacking for quality play. I mean, I believe he leads the NHL in plus minus. I mean, he's been really, really good. But I just thought, especially last night, some of his stick work, it just classic Dumoulin stuff too. And you know, I think it's no coincidence that he has played the way he has this season, and Chris Letang's had the year he's had. And you know, I wrote this in my 20 thoughts on Tuesday, just enough screwing around with like these weird defense pairings and trying to play Marcus Pettersson with Chris Letang. Like, Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang are your top defense pairing. You're at a point in the season where you let those guys go, do what they did last night. The results are going to be there. They're very good together. They're very good independent players. And, you know, I mean, for better or worse, that's your pairing. You need to ride it. And you figure out your second pair. You figure out who is with Justin Schultz. And then your third pair, you know, you play them 12, 13 minutes a night. They should be serviceable against bottom six lines. But Dumoulin and Letang, for me, they're as good as they get up top.
Last thing for you. Got about 30 seconds left. Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So we're doing this AB jersey thing, turn them in. And you get gift certificate, and we're making a big deal of it. What was that one jersey you had as a kid, no matter what sport? Like, what did you have? What was that jersey you couldn't part with?
Drew Brees, of all things, guys. I've always been a huge Drew Brees fan. Dating back to his time at Purdue, one of my gifts in high school was my mom ordered the Purdue Boilermakers Drew Brees jersey from Purdue, and so I could never part with it. Down in my basement, I have a couple Drew Brees jerseys still. I have that one. I have his Chargers jersey. I have a New Orleans Saints jersey. I'll never get rid of it. And I still, to this day, I love Drew Brees. I don't know why.
Wow. Jason Mackey, insightful stuff.
One,
big
you?
Drew Brees fan.
No.
Well,
off the board.
Yeah, I like it. You're taller than Drew Brees, I believe.
Yes. I am. Yeah. I think I'm probably 4 inches taller than Drew Brees.
Yeah. Many of us are. Yep. I think Colony's taller than him. Well, thank you so very much. We will talk again soon. Jason Mackey, one of our favorites, that's for sure.
Thank you, Jason.
Stuff. You know what jersey I had? Seriously, this is...
What?
And this is so weird. I've gone just by happenstance, like the past three times they've been in town. I had a Joe Nieuwendyk Calgary jersey.
That's
everybody had different street hockey jerseys.
Right.
And I had it from... I bought it at Honus Wagner.
Yeah.
Down on Wood Street.
Okay.
And they would have different jerseys like hanging up on the ceiling or in the
right.
And I bought a Joe Nieuwendyk jersey.
The one jersey I've
had. How many
had
letters
since
were on the back of that?
73.
Yo, it was unbelievable.
You know what jersey I've had since I was a little kid? Still have it.
What's that?
Jerry McCullough.
Oh
yeah,
Pitt script jersey.
Yeah,
nice.
old school.
Old Ice McCullough.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this because we all and it was the Flames jersey they should always have. It was the red with the yellow piping.
Uh-huh.
Like it was
the whites.
Yeah, no black in it.
Like the Flames behind, yeah.
That
the Lanny McDonald Flames jersey.
Yes, that's the jersey. Those Pitt jerseys. Was it white, blue, or yellow?
Blue.
The blue Jerry McCullough jersey.
Blue with the yellow script.
Wow, great stuff.
Number 5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.